It is my privilege to read from and proclaim the Word of God. And I've heard this story since I was very small, so have you. And it's good news to hear and it's good news to tell, but it's hard to hear it as news, isn't it? Because we've heard it so many times. And it's like William said this morning, we've been waiting and waiting and waiting, and we recreate this Advent. And what we do with this Advent is we go, Jesus is coming, but we know He's coming. He's here now. How do we hear this story? How are you going to hear this story this morning? Are you going to hear it as good news? Are you going to hear it like the nation of Israel heard it? 300 pages ago, Isaiah breaks onto the scene and it's, oh my goodness, the nation is torn asunder and we've gone to a distant land and now we have to come back and we have to rebuild the temple or there's no place to worship. And then we get Jeremiah and it's, oh, woe is me and everything is bad. And another prophet and another prophecy. And more gloom, more doom, more weeping, more gnashing of teeth. Another prophet, another gloom, another doom. Everything is really bad. And then you read, if you read for the first time and you go, wait, what? No. Those of you who have been mothers, pregnant ladies getting on a donkey, I don't think so. You have to hear it with new ears every year. That's what Advent is about. You taking the story that is so old and making it brand new. Katniss raises her hand and says, I volunteer. A little hobbit says, I'll take the ring, although I do not know the way. Somebody barges through the door and says, you're a wizard, Harry. You have to hear it with the same new ears and see it with the same new eyes as some of these little guys here. The story is packed through in 20 short verses. We go all the way from some sort of political act all the way to good news to hear and good news to tell. Here now from the Word of God, from the book of Luke, the second chapter. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. And this was the first census that took place when Quirinius was the governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to be registered. So Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son, and wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. But the angel said, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You'll find the baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to those on whom His favor rests." Now, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you so much, Conley. What a wonderful introduction to this story that we hear and that we tell. Not only this time of the year, but always. And special thanks to Mary for singing that song about Mary. That was so wonderful. I really would like to go around the room right now with a microphone and pretend to be some TV host or something or other and say, could you tell me about the best news you've ever heard? I bet you we could hear some good news in here. They would cover the whole gamut from the sublime to the ridiculous, the funny and the serious. I thought about that, and what's the best news you've ever heard? I opened up the newspaper and I said, there's a good example right now. They have found a way to reverse aging for mice. Well, that's good news for mice. It sure is. And there's actually cars now that will park themselves. My question is, but will they park when I want them to? That's amazing. Cars will now park themselves. And it won't be too much longer. You'll be hungry, and a drone will bring you your pizza or your favorite cup of coffee from Starbucks. It's amazing, isn't it? Good news. Well, that's all kind of ridiculous. But good news, it goes a little bit deeper. When you're young, good news could be something as simply as this. I remember the first A that I ever made, which was a long, long, long time ago after a string of C's and D's and everything else. And I received that first A. And, the first time that you ever receive something good as a little kid in school, it's so wonderful. I remember when I made the Little League baseball team. The coach called me up and said, congratulations, you made the team. It made me feel so wonderful. I remember that. And then, of course, we remember the times as we grow up and our favorite teams today win the World Series or the Super Bowl. We rejoice in things like that. But then I hear people say things like, the best news I've ever heard was that the water has receded and I can now go back to my home and the town that was flooded. A good news to hear is when you're in that waiting room and the doctor finally comes out. He's going into extra innings with the surgery, but he comes out with a smile on his face and he says, I've got good news. It's going to be all right. I believe I've got it all. And with good care and post-op treatment, she's going to live. Incredibly good news at a time when you most need to hear the good news. Every year we have a tradition, Polly and I, we watch White Christmas on the video. Now that's just a warm-up. Because then we go to the big screen here in Cary Theater, and we saw it yesterday at 2, and we watched White Christmas. And it just dawned on me what incredibly good news that was when the newspaper came out that day that said, the war is ended. I wasn't there the day that happened. It was a couple years before I was born. My father was there. My mother was there. My grandmother was there. Many of your parents were there. Can you imagine the incredible joy they had when they heard that war was over? Good news is a welcome in our world today, isn't it? It's a thing that we welcome so much. And that's why Christmas is important. Because I believe that you and me and every single person upon this planet needs and wants to hear good news. And that's what Christmas is all about. The angel appeared to the shepherds, do not fear, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. The good news is the news about a birth. Now, we got all kinds of parties and we do all kinds of things at Christmas that may be about ourselves or something else. But Christmas is really about the birth of Jesus. It really should be about throwing a birthday party for him. It's about Jesus' birth. And it is good news about his birth. And there are three reasons to celebrate. And by the way, the first purpose of Christmas, Rick Warren says in his book, The Purpose of Christmas, is it's a time of celebration. And it's a time of celebration. Three reasons to rejoice and celebrate the good news is that, first of all, it's personal. The angel said, to you. And the news is positive, of great joy, and it's universal for all persons. And wrapped up in this gift that God gives us through the birth of Jesus is a celebration for us with a message. God loves you, God is with you, and God is for you. And I might need to say a little bit about that latter one. What do you mean God is for me? A lot of people think God's up against them. God is not that kind of God. You know, in the scriptures it said, he who did not withhold his own son but gave him up for all of us, will he not with him give us everything else? God is at work for good in our lives and in the life of the world. And so Christmas is a time of celebration. The good news is worth celebrating. And this is the good news that we have to all persons. God loves you. God is with you. Always during this season, I'm with people who are going through hard times. And sometimes they wonder and I wonder, well, how do you celebrate Christmas when you're in a hard place? I'll tell you how you can do that. The light shines in dark places because God is there. So God loves you, God is with you, and God is for you. Rick Warren says the second purpose of Christmas is it's a time of salvation. The angel said to the shepherds, do not fear, for I bring you good news of great joy for all people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Christmas is a time of salvation. Now, when we think about salvation, just very briefly, it has to do with this. We are saved from something. We are saved for something. And we are saved by something. Now, obviously, we're saved from our sins. But we're also saved from a lot of other things. We're delivered out of those habits and hang-ups that would rob us from the peace that is ours as children of God. We're delivered. We're saved from things. But we're not just saved from something, we're saved for something. We were created before the foundation of the earth in God's mind for good works. We were created for a purpose, and we are saved from and we're saved for to live out that purpose for which we've been created. We're saved by something, and that's the really good news too, because it's not through our effort, but it's by God's grace. We're saved by God's grace. And so Christmas is a time of salvation. You think about that. We need deliverance. We need to be launched into a new life, and salvation is all about being delivered from something and into something. And it's always good because it's what God does on our behalf. Christmas is also a time of reconciliation. You know, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying in the highest heaven, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom God favors. Peace. Did you hear that? That's what reconciliation is all about. Christmas is a time of reconciliation. Jesus Christ, the little baby born in the manger, was the Prince of Peace. He was all about peace. A different kind of peace. Not the kind of peace that comes once an army has conquered another army and there's a lull in the violence. Not that kind of peace. That peace doesn't last. He's the Prince of Peace. But there's three kinds of peace. Three kinds of peace that we need. There's the peace with God. You know, therefore, since we're saved by faith, by grace, we have peace with God. Someone once said, Rabbi, when should I make peace with God? He said, good question. 5 minutes before you die. He said, that's very interesting. But I don't know when I'm going to die. He said, that's the whole point. We can have peace with God our entire life. We can know that we are on a talking relationship where we're in a relationship in which we do not have to cower. We can come out and climb upon God's lap and call Him Abba. We have peace with God. And then there's the peace of God. I love in Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 12, I believe it is. But there's a passage in there. Whatsoever things are true, honorable, just, pure, pleasing, commendable, if there's any excellence, anything worthy of praise, think on these things. And the peace of God, the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The peace of God is amazing. Because you're in the midst of that hard place. But you're not shattered in your spirit. Because you have a peace. Peace of God guarding your heart and guarding your mind. The peace of God. And then there's peace with one another. We're called to the ministry of reconciliation. Blessed are the peacemakers. We're called to make peace with others. And again, it's not we who do the work, but we are the instruments of His peace. Christmas is a time of celebration. Christmas is a time of salvation. Christmas is a time of reconciliation. Christmas is all about the gift that God gives us in Jesus Christ. It is the most expensive gift you'll ever receive. Because the one who was born by way of the manger left by way of the cross. God gave His only begotten Son. Not only is it the most expensive gift, it's also the most practical gift. It's something that we can use every day. And it's also the gift that will last forever and ever and ever and ever. But you know what? If you wrapped up a really nice gift for me and brought it to me today after the service and I took it home and I never unwrapped that gift, first of all, your feelings would be hurt. Because you provided a gift for me, and I did not open it. And I would also suffer because I would not have the benefit of that gift. Christ gives us the gift of Jesus, His Son. But we need to unwrap the gift. Unwrapping the gift is simply hearing the good news. And then once we hear the good news, to tell the good news. One of the things that I do during Advent every year is I wind up going places and I look for opportunities to tell the birth story of Jesus. Luke chapter 2, 1 through 20. The story that Conley told. So often I realize that story doesn't really become all that God wanted it to be until it's shared. Until it's shared with those people who need to hear it and in those places sometimes that are very hard. And do you know when I catch the Christmas spirit? Sure, it's having fun and going to see White Christmas with my sweetheart and all these other things. And I love the joy and festivity of Christmas. But you know when I really get the Christmas spirit? When I see someone else receive the gift. And I re-experience all over again the joy of what it means for me too to receive that gift. That no matter where we are in our life, this Christmas, there is good news. Good news to hear. Good news to tell. We close out our service again by inviting you for prayer. And Polly and I would love to pray with you. That you would welcome the good news that God has for you in Jesus Christ. And that you would also make yourself available to tell that story. Let us stand.